Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your hosts, best-selling author Kim D.H. Butler and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Prosperity Podcast. This is No BS Money Guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, we've got best-selling financial author Kim Butler with us today. And we're going to be talking about an article that's online, and it's 10 pieces of financial advice I wish I knew in my 20s. And believe it or not, I was actually kind of surprised because there were some things in here just glancing through it that I did not know. It's interesting that just in one short generation, all the rules are changing again, isn't it?
Yes, so true.
You know, it's, the difference between 20 and 40 is 100 years. I mean, it's just amazing.
I think I've heard financial memory is 7 years. Like, we've already forgotten what happened in 08.
Yeah. I can believe that too. All right. So we're going to start off and just go through these 10. And number one, right off the bat, is report your rent to the credit bureau. Did you know you could do that?
That is very interesting. I've only heard about it recently from another source. And it's actually Jimmy Vreeland and the guys at Join Ops, because they help their lease-to-own buyers report their rent. So I don't know when that capacity started, but I don't think that that has always been in existence. But that's a pretty cool strategy.
I used to do a lot of owner financing on the properties that we would rehab and sell, or subdivisions or whatever. And I always made sure that I reported, because you could build people's credit histories. But that was as the lender, not as the renter. Like I said, it's their number one thing. If that can be done, wow. I mean, you know, I would say average rent in this country has to be $1,000, $1,500 a month or something. That's a huge, huge bonus to your credit.
Absolutely. Love the strategy. Great suggestion.
Number two, learn how to use a credit card the right way.
So I totally agree. And interestingly enough, I also recommend people have two credit cards, which is just unheard of, I think, in a lot of circles. And yet, if you have two credit cards, you are forced to think about things from a business standpoint. And even though you may not have a business today, if you start identifying things that could be potential business expenses and put those on one credit card and then put the personal stuff on another, then that can help you when you do get ready to maybe just even create a little network marketing business or something like that. And of course, using a credit card and paying it off every month is a fabulous way to build credit. Here's another interesting fact that I've recently learned. The credit card companies, and especially the banks when they're looking at you, really only want you to use 30% of your available credit limit.
Yep, that kind of surprised me too, and it kind of goes into some more detail, and I think it's saying the same thing, and that's that the baby boomer generation tended to keep credit cards for large purchases, and they would make those large purchases and then pay them back in chunks over time. The millennial generation charges everything on the credit card and then pays it off at the end of each month.
Right.
So, again, that's amazing. And if I think of the people in my life, that's exactly the way they do it.
Yep.
Don't inquire until you know for sure. This is talking about credit inquiries.
Yeah. So, this is also not possibly super common knowledge, even though it should be. If you go car shopping, possibly even furniture shopping, or house shopping, mortgage shopping, that kind of thing, those credit requests are all going to show up. And if you do too much of that, it can hurt you. If you're just doing a little bit of it, not a big deal. And then there's the whole difference between a soft pull and a hard pull. And so maybe someday we can get a credit specialist on the phone or get them on our podcast and share some additional information. But without a doubt, you want to be super careful and not just be willy-nilly having your Social Security out there that is causing people to look at your credit.
By the way, one thing I do know that's for sure is there's a lot of TV commercial now out there now about people pulling their own credit score. And that is for sure a soft pull and doesn't affect your score.
Right. Yep.
All right. Number four is build your credit.
So, yes, this is important. Do they give some suggestions?
Well, they don't. But I can be of some help here. I have a nephew who's in the process of buying a house, and this will be his first house. And one of the things, his dad was a contractor, and one of the things that I had him do 3 years ago was to make the son authorized signers on some of those business account cards. And in a way, it looks kind of stupid because he has credit cards that were in existence before he was born, but he has an incredible credit score.
Love it. Yeah. And so people could do that personally too, right? You just,
correct.
You know, there's a risk to that, but you take your 18-year-old and you put him as an authorized signer on your account so that the 18-year-old can start to build credit. But you can do other things too. You can get cell phone bills put in the individual's name. You can do, you know, maybe like a little Staples card or a Best Buy card or something like that. You know, it's literally $50, $100 limit, but it gives them something, and they literally should put something on that card every single month and pay it off every single month. That builds credit. There's also actually prepaid isn't the word that I'm looking for. They're secured credit cards where you send in $1,000 and they hold that and give you a credit card with a credit limit of $1,000 and you make payments. And so if somebody doesn't have any credit at all, that's a way to start to get one established.
Number five, you don't have to be rich to invest.
Definitely. One of the fun things that we like to help clients with is getting into investments at, say, $25,000. Now, for some people, that does seem like you need to be rich, but for many others, that's a nice, easy starting point. Something else that I love about the life insurance, even though we don't call it an investment, is it's a really good place for you to start if all you have is a little bit of money every month. Your $100, $200, $300 a month contribution can actually do a young person a lot of good and then enable them to build up to that lump sum where they could have their $25,000 and go do something. But then you can also get involved in the peer-to-peer lending environment and look at the various websites that provide the peer-to-peer loans as a provider, as an investor. You can do that for, I think, as little as $500 and get a decent rate of return with some risk, but you choose that risk. You choose the caliber of loan that you're going to provide your money for and get paid accordingly.
I think it's the habit that's the most important part. It's the regularly setting and designating money aside as investment dollars. Don't care who you are. There has to be a dollar one at some point. And even those amounts may seem small in the beginning, that habit is what will get you through to the end. Number six, save enough for rainy days.
So critical. I've shared it before, but I just am amazed at the flexibility that my two kids have because they have a couple $1,000s. It's not a lot of money, but at their level of the game, it's everything. Kaylee was in the process of trying to get out of one job environment and find another. And she was able to do that without completely stressing over where the food and the rent was going to come from that next month. Savings, and you've talked about it so well, the importance of building a habit of saving is what creates peace of mind, a more balanced approach to life, an ability to not have to take the first job that shows up. I mean, there's just so much good value in it. I have a friend that's got a new baby in the family. I think it's a niece that just had a baby or something. And she said, I really want to get this kid started on something, but I don't have enough money to give them something that's worth doing in an account. Is it worth giving them $20 every year for Christmas and birthday? And I said, absolutely. Go get a piggy bank. Give them the money in ones. Like, go to the bank and get brand new $1 bills. Give them 20 $1 bills and teach them the idea of put a couple away for charity, put a couple away for long term, put a couple away for whatever else, maybe a friend or a treat or whatever, and then spend the rest on a toy for today. And just teaching the child that little bit. So you could up that if you're a 20 or a 30 year old and you don't feel like you have any capacity at all, take $20, split it up into ones, get yourself three envelopes or three jars or three bags or boxes or whatever, and start to just get in the habit.
Buy those little gold dollars. Do you know of anybody who's actually been able to spend one of those?
No, every time I see
them. They're so cool to play with in my pocket, I just leave it there. Hold off on buying a car, even if you can afford it.
Now, that's interesting. So that's going to be very state specific. In some cities, New York, Boston, absolutely, that's what you should do. In other cities, you couldn't work if you didn't have a car. Now, public transportation may be okay. So that's a toughie, but if you can, awesome. I would add that if you do really find yourself needing a car, then consider used. I'm so saddened when I see a 22, 23-year-old person that is buying a brand new car and, frankly, wasting a lot of money on that off-the-lot depreciation that occurs so quickly, when they could be in great shape with a 2 or 3 year old used car.
Absolutely. And I think, maybe more so of holding off on buying a car, I guess I kind of took it as, maybe keep this one a couple years longer, not having a car at all, but hold off on, you don't always have to have the newest models. The cars these days seem to do I can always remember working on cars when I was a teenager and a young man, and you just don't have to work on them anymore.
Absolutely. A car can last 100,000 miles, piece of cake, and if you can hold that car that 10 or 12 years, whatever it takes to get to that level, then that's money that could be saved, that $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 car payment. And if you're in a profession that really looks at people's cars, I understand that. So maybe you get a new one every 7 years or 10 years, but it doesn't need to be every 2 or 3. And furthermore, I still like the idea of buying one that's 2 or 3 years old. It's just so much more efficient. And or trying to find one like we did that has hail damage or has been maybe in a cosmetic accident or something like that, where you can get that tough retail price just knocked off a little bit.
Oh, this is a goodie. Number 8, beware of predatory lending.
We just got in the mail the other day a $150,000 credit card. And it was an actual card, a physical credit card that said, you have been reserved for $150,000, 0% for 90 days. And then Lord knows what after that. I didn't even look. And my assistant said, is this a joke? I said, no, it's somebody trying to get us to borrow their money and hopes that we can't pay it back right away. And those interest rates move up. So I don't know if that's what you mean by predatory lending, but there's a lot of different games out there that companies are playing.
I was thinking kind of like the payday loan thing.
Yeah, great thing to bring up. So that's such a scary environment. Those interest rates are horrific. So you see these little places that will do payday loans or paycheck loans, and also the ones that lend on your car title, et cetera. If you're in a spot that is that bad, then I guess you have to do it. I mean, that's what those are there for. But good heavens, that's why we want people saving. That's why saving provides peace of mind, because even though your savings account may not be earning any interest, it will keep you from having to pay interest to somebody else to get yourself out of a jam if that's what's required.
Number 9 is stop spending so much money on socializing.
Yeah, so I'll agree with that one 100%. I'm one of those cheap dates. You know, I get happy with Taco Bell and a Diet Dr. Pepper, but it is amazing how many dollars can get spent on alcohol or, you know, dinners out or what have you, just hanging out with friends. And that's fine. Have at it. But for people that are really serious about their money, that's something that they're going to want to track, figure out, okay, this is an okay dollar figure for me. And if that means I only go out every other Friday, or I only go out for 1 hour or 2 hours or whatever, or I don't go to this place, I go to that place instead. Or if all my friends are going to an expensive place, I order a salad and water. I mean, there's a million ways to get around that situation. And I think you have to just go back to what your values are. If it's super valuable to you to be going out with your friends, but it's also super valuable to you to start save money, then find a way to do both. And if it's not super valuable for you to be out in the town and seen and be seen, then don't do it. Or at least don't do it as often as everybody else is.
Super. And then before we wrap up our number 10, if any of the things we're saying here makes sense to you, I wanted to give you an opportunity to offer your book to our listeners.
Absolutely. So we have a fun little book called Financial Planning Has Failed. It's a great read for somebody in their 20s or 30s that might be trying to learn a little bit about personal finances. And it's available as an audiobook as well. And it is only at partners4prosperity.com/ebook. So that's partners4prosperity.com/ebook. You can't get it on Amazon. It only exists on that special link on the website designed for our podcast listeners.
Super. Now, the final number 10th one is it's harder to get yourself out of a hole than it is to get in one.
Yeah, so true. So back to what we've talked about. Have a credit card that's empty so that it's available for emergencies if needed. Have savings be a habit so that you can have the peace of mind that comes with having savings as a noun. Saving as a verb is the habit. Noun is the peace of mind part. And then when you're ready for the next step, reach out to us. Let us know that you feel like you've got the credit card game down, the car game down, the savings game down, and you're ready to step it up a notch. We'd be happy to help. And the best way to do that is email us hello@partners4prosperity.com.
Super. Well, thanks so much to Kim Butler, and thanks so much to all of our listeners. This is No BS Money Guy Todd Strobel saying take care, and we'll see y'all soon.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partners4prosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.